The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, Jenny and Levi's five-year-old daughter died from an asthma attack 5 days before Christmas.
I mean, it's hard. Yeah. It's all hard, but sure. Let's hold on tight to God. That's just really, I think, what I would say is that we just clung tightly, not knowing, not understanding what God's up to, what's happening, why, but just holding tight to a God who knows all and who loves us and has a plan for us in the midst of it.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh. I'm here with Randy Robinson, and we're really glad that you're joining us today. This is a little bit different because instead of just having one guest, we have two. We have a husband and wife team of Levi Lusco and Jenny Lusco, and I just want to welcome you both to the show.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
It's a joy to be with you guys.
Now, here's what I wanted to ask. Your book, Jenny, The Fight to Flourish, I wanted to read a line from your husband's endorsement of the book that is, I found really fascinating. My wife didn't want to write this book. The Fight to Flourish is a tear and blood-stained playbook that has helped her face both victory and defeat with grace and grit. And I'll help you do the same. So talk to us, Jenny, about, for those who don't know your story maybe, would you tell us about what happened in your life as a family that this book is the fruit of?
Yes, well, we experienced, the worst pain we've ever experienced when our five-year-old daughter at the time in 2012 just suddenly and shockingly died and went to heaven 5 days before Christmas, and really was just... So it was just sudden. It wasn't like she was suffering from an illness or we were ready for it. It was just, we were getting ready for Christmas, wrapping Christmas presents and getting ready for our church. We lead Fresh Life Church. We're getting ready for Christmas. And then she's here one moment, gone in heaven the next moment. And so really the foundation of my book is from a place of pain and heartache and struggle and fighting forward. And I think we all want this flourishing, the idea of flourishing, living an abundant, thriving, full life. We want that, but it almost feels like the pain we walk through or the struggles that we face, the grief that we're in, the heartache, the sin that we're struggling with, it holds us back from that flourishing life. But what I found and what I write about in this book is that's actually those very things that have the potential and the possibility of creating and being this flourishing life that we're walking with. We can have pain and power at the same time. We can go through suffering and yet find such strength and beauty. And it usually goes hand in hand, those two things. And so really our story of that is the foundation of it. And like my husband said, like, I wish I didn't have to write this book. And I honestly didn't want to. I didn't think that my voice or that what I struggled through or the things that I learned really needed to be written. But God was so gracious and so kind to really lay it out before me to be able to walk in. And even the journey of writing the book was a fight forward and a fight to flourish in the season that I'm in as a mom of four kids and leading a church. And it's hard. And I think I'm just so thankful that God calls us to do the hard things because he calls us to trust him in it and to grow in it. And so really the fight to flourish is my life, my story, my struggle. I even have like little, journal entries in there from, things that I've walked through, but I'm so grateful.
You know, Levi and Jenny, you say that, you know, your daughter Lenya is in heaven, and I believe that. That's the faith we hold. That's the hope we hold, and we have to fight for that. But I know that, man, when we lose somebody like that, we know they're in heaven, but it feels like we're in hell.
Yeah.
And you've been very honest, both of you, about the struggle, the darkness, and the fight. just let people know, because I know some people, they look at you and they think, oh, well, they've got something I don't have. But man, with the pain that people are going through right now, what can you say to them to just communicate how you guys, you've been there and you've overcome and you continue overcoming?
Yeah, Randy, I think, you know, what you guys experienced with your sister and what we've faced with our daughter, every one of us, we've walked through hard things. And I think what's important to remember is that hurting with hope still hurts.
Yeah.
And I always want to remind people that, like, it can almost feel like, well, either I have faith or I don't, you know, but it's not so clean cut. You can have faith and still have questions. You can have faith and still be sad. You can have faith and still be very frustrated. Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, but still broke down crying.
Yeah.
So that shows that in our human state, there's still a frailty of emotions that's perfectly normal and natural. So I believe my daughter's in heaven, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't something that hurt like hell, like you said. It did hurt. It hurt so bad. And I think when we know that it's okay to feel all the human emotions and still trust God. And that's not a betrayal of God. In fact, he's glorified by us not really even knowing what to do, but still trusting him anyway, still saying like Job, I don't understand you, God. Actually, at the moment, I don't even know if I like you, but I will worship you. Wow. And I think God's still honored. I think that's where there's a space for powerful breakthrough.
One of the things I wondered, Jenny, because you're going through this devastating tragedy and you're pastors of a church, and I wondered, was it hard for you to allow people into your pain? Because I know sometimes if I'm really hurting, I kind of withdraw. And I wonder what that was like for you.
Absolutely. I mean, I think initially, we experienced such strength and peace and power from the people around us and being able to lead people. I feel like in the initial days, we're like, How do we lead? How do we, like, but we just knew we had to keep moving forward. But I feel like
we also took time to heal too, though.
Yeah. I mean, we did. I mean, you took
a couple weeks off,
a couple month off or whatever. But I think initially we just realized like life is, I mean, even more so we knew this, but we experienced it that our lives are so short. We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know how long we have. We don't know how long people around us have who don't know Jesus. And so really initially there was this kind of like fight forward in the sense of, we need to just tell people about Jesus. We need to tell people about heaven. And that's still a great, that's what we do. That's who we are. But there was just kind of this added, like we experienced our daughter going to heaven, and the nearness of heaven and eternity isn't as far as we think. And so it kind of gave us more of a fire to reach people. And I think maybe now even on the back end, it'll be 8 years this year since she went to heaven, but where we have learned the beauty of rest and leaning into what God's called us to do. And it might look different than someone else leading a church, but just knowing the unique calling on our lives. And even in marriages, I mean, you see in statistics that most marriages won't last after a child dies. And we just have found that it's actually strengthened and brought out a beauty as, I mean, it's hard. Yeah. It's all hard, but
sure.
Let's hold on tight to God. That's just really, I think what I would say is that we just clung tightly, not knowing, not understanding what God's up to, what's happening, why, but just holding tight to a God who knows all and who loves us and has a plan for us in the midst of it.
Yeah, no, and that's why I think your book is so aptly titled, because when you say the fight to flourish, we all want the flourish part, but you had to fight.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things you discovered and continue to discover as you fight, some of the, maybe the secrets to fighting?
Good.
So good. Well, all over the Bible, you see examples of fighting. Paul talks about fighting this fight of faith. And even he compares the life of faith to a runner who's running not just to run, I mean, who likes to run? I don't like to run, but I, but it's good for your body. So I hear, yeah. But not just running to run, but running to win. And just this added effort and added, on your toes, leaning in like effort and energy and anticipation. And I think that, really God has called all of us, no matter what we've experienced, no matter what we've gone through, he's called all of us to fight forward. And I think I've just, I mean, I love boxing. I love spin class. And I feel like there's parallels to that as you're, I mean, even just a stance, like a boxer's stance is bent knees, on your toes, guard up, like you're ready. You're ready for a hit coming to the side of your head, a hit coming to your side. Like you're just ready. And I think that that's what God's called us to do is when you're not in a season of suffering, get to be ready for what might be around the corner, and not that being a message of doom, like, oh, you're going to go through hard stuff. But Jesus said it himself. He said, in this world, you will face tribulation and trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so knowing that we're going to face struggles and we're going to face grief, and grief looks so different for different people, because for some people, it's the loss of a relationship, or it's the loss of a marriage, or it's the loss of someone who did die, or it's the loss of a dream of what you thought life was going to be like. And it's, and your life is not measuring up or reaching that goal at all. And so to be in a place where you're just, you're ready and your guard is up and you're ready for what God's going to teach you, that anticipation of what he's going to show you in the midst of heartache and trials and grief. But also just a readiness of how he wants to use you in the midst of it. Because the Bible even says, like, God comforts us so that we can comfort others in their pain and their heartache. And I think that that's such a huge part of it, is allowing God to heal, allowing God to comfort, allowing God to minister to you, but knowing that it's not just for you. Right. God wants to do something through you to help others and strengthen others and inspire others and encourage them in the challenges that they face.
Yeah. And Levi, you've written, you know, several books before, which have been awesome. My son loves your writing. But tell me about this new book you've written. It's called Take Back Your Life, a 40-day interactive journey to thinking right so you can live right. Why did you write this book at this time?
Well, Sheila, the number 40 in the Bible, as you know, is a number of testing. So many times 40 is used, it speaks of tests. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we're in 2020, and 20 plus 20 is 40. And
wow.
This year has not
so
been
good.
A year of testing. I mean, I feel like everything that's not nailed down has moved. And if some things that are nailed down have moved, you know, and
sure.
Here we are this fall, I think all of us would like to think that, oh, maybe a month from now, it's all going to be behind us. But the reality is, if it's not this, it's another thing. Mm-hmm. And we're being tested. These are the times that test men's souls. And so my goal is for us to see a test as a good thing, not a bad thing. God doesn't test us to destroy us. He tests us to prove the power of his love inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the goal of this new interactive journey, first of all, was it was a low barrier. You know, sometimes people think, I can't read a book. Well, this is 40 days of reading. You know, anybody can do that. It's a little bit a day, spoonful of sugar, right? And then also, you know, there's everyday questions, prayers, there's space to doodle. My goal is to for people just to really give some room for the Holy Spirit, give some room for some time alone with God. And what I'm hoping that people can see is that 40 days from now, your life could look very different.
Mm-hmm.
If you gave a little bit of dedicated time to meeting with the Holy Spirit every day and letting Jesus breathe his new power inside you, just what could it look like? If you will let him show you what your blind spots are.
Wow.
Because I think we're all capable of being our own worst enemy and holding ourselves back, whether it's self-sabotaging tendency or an addiction or a pattern of thinking, just even negativity. It can get in the way, a victim mentality.
Mm-hmm.
So in the book, I try to really give some of the things that God's shown me through scripture, through my own struggles with anxiety and difficult thoughts that I've gotten into toxically. And so I just really want to encourage people that you can take your life back.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe have given the reins over to stress, or given the reins over to a medicating tendency, or whatever it might be. Every time I'm stressed, I go shopping or online gambling or whatever it is. But take your lives back, because for freedom, Christ set us free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, both of you guys, you know, you're writing these books on testing, on fighting to overcome, taking things back. And both of you obviously have gone deeply to Scripture. Are there any particular scriptures that come to mind that would encourage other people in the middle of their test or their fight, their struggle?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first that comes to mind is James 1, where James, the brother of Jesus, is literally talking to Christians who've been scattered abroad and who are being persecuted for their faith. And so the book of James is just this, this is how you live this life. This is how you fight forward. And so he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And another version says into different trials and temptations. And because it's actually, these things actually produce a patience and a perseverance in you that will help you to keep going. Because I mean, the whole goal is that we would walk with Jesus our whole lives, that we would grow, that we would flourish, that we would live these lives for God's glory, regardless of what happens, good and bad. And so he's saying, if you go through these things, considering them a gift, considering them an opportunity that for God to build up your endurance and to build up your perseverance and to build up your patience so that you can keep showing up and so that you can keep fighting and so that you can keep living this life that God's called you to live. That verse, even recently, but throughout my life, has been such a huge just perspective change. Like so often we look at a trial, we look at difficulties and we see an obstacle like, oh my gosh, this is just in my way. I'm supposed to be loving God, but this is in my way. But James is saying, no, look at it differently. Look at it as a gift, as something that is treasured, as something that is beautiful, that God actually wants to use to bring a depth and a beauty and a vibrancy in you and through you.
Yeah, for me, it would be Matthew 6, where Jesus said, if your eye is good, your whole body's going to be good. But if your eye is bad, even if you have all the light, you're still going to walk in darkness. And in the book, Take Back Your Life, I'm really trying to help people try and figure out what lens they're using to view trials, situations, themselves. And I think if we can do a lens change and get our vision up to where God wants it to be, it'll change your whole life.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, as you've said, Levi, we're living in very different times. And, you know, it's not even a new normal. It's an ever-shifting model. I'm just wondering, what do you see God doing through his church at the moment? Because even that's not the way it used to be. What do you see God doing, and what's your hope for us?
I see the Holy Spirit calling us to joy. I think this is an occasion when God allows things to be stripped away. And of course, I'm not presuming to know why God allowed COVID-19. That's all above my pay grade. But I do know what God's trying to do in the sense that it's the same thing he's been doing ever since his son rose from the grave. He's calling us to true joy. And I think we as a church so easily take our joy or try to take happiness from circumstances, from, I think, control. This season of all, I mean, control has been exposed as an idol we worship. And
true.
I'm not in control. None of us can do anything, but are we ever? And I think our great joy comes from remembering God's in control. And if we have food to eat and, you know, some air to breathe, we should be happy because Christ can never be taken from us. Yeah. And so I think that we're at a place where we are learning to value what cannot be taken away from us. Mm-hmm. Heaven, our true home, and our calling here as ambassadors on this earth, as apprentices under Jesus. I think we are positioned like never before to discover real joy.
That's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Jenny, I just want to say thank you for writing this. I have a friend who lost her little girl last year, and I've been struggling to know what even to put in her hands. So I'm going to make sure she gets your book. So just on behalf of all the women, all the families who would be impacted, thank you for taking that painful journey to write your story.
Thank you, Sheila. Thank you so much.
Well, one of the things you know about us here at Life is that we are very committed to having our eyes open to others around the world who are hurting. And this is a very special season when we are trying to put shoes on the feet of little ones who've never had them and give some children who've never been able to smile that possibility. Would you watch this?
From your family to our family, your generosity has empowered Life's mission efforts around the world. And the look on these children's faces make the impact obvious. It's in the smile of Mateo, as he receives a bowl of food made possible by your giving, or of Gabriella as she quenches her thirst from a clean water well that you helped drill. You could even say you make it your business to give children smiles. Well, this Christmas, we'd like to give a smile to someone who might not easily be able to smile otherwise. You see, all over the world, there are children who have trouble smiling because they were born with a cleft lip or palate. But a simple surgery by loving doctors can radically transform the appearance of children like these and greatly improve their quality of life. But they won't be the only ones smiling this Christmas. Because with your help, we also want to give a brand new pair of shoes to children who have never had them.
You can see all of the little ones. Honestly, the smiles on their faces is so exciting to be a part of this. You can look around at all of the children in this village, and most of them are without shoes. They could lose their very lives because of an infection that they could get on their feet.
Help make this Christmas special for a child like this. Help us provide Christmas shoes and smiles.
You might be tempted to think, well, that's a little early for talking about Christmas. But the reason we're coming to you today is because we want to be able to get 150,000 pairs of shoes to children who've never had a pair of shoes in their life. And I've watched these children as they walk over these rough, rocky roads, or they put their darling little unprotected feet into water that is not clean water. And it can actually, honestly, even cost them their lives. But we can do so much for so little. These shoes are amazing. I've had the joy, Randy, of putting them on little feet and seeing children literally dance for the first time because they've never had a pair of shoes.
Absolutely. You know, and I love all the outreaches of life and the way that we put smiles on their faces with food and with water and the rescue. But this one's, it's something special about the Christmas spirit, the Christmas season, and giving them something that they may not expect. And even though it can be life-saving, there's an element of just something special when we put the shoes on them. And, you know, we are getting close to wrapping up this emphasis, even though it is early in the year for us. We have to prepare, and I'm not quite sure how close we are to our goal of 150,000 shoes, Sheila, but I feel like we're going to get there, and we're only going to do it with your help. When you think about the fact that $180, your gift today of $180, will purchase and deliver those 50 pairs of shoes, they aren't just shoes. Those are children. Those are children who will dance, who will laugh, and who will be better off just because you said, you know what, I'm going to do something special this year. And Sheila, I just hope everybody will jump in and make this one of the biggest, most successful Shoes and Smiles campaigns ever.
Yeah, because, you know, this year could be marked by tragedy, or we as the church could determine that this will be a year when we stopped just looking at what we might need for ourselves and began to look at the need for others. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I honestly believe Christmas will be a sweeter time for you and I, knowing that we've been able to put a smile on the face of a child who is otherwise an outcast sometimes in their culture. $500 can give a child literally a road to a new life. And $36 provides 10 pairs of shoes for children. So please, would you go to your phone? Would you make a commitment that we together, as the body of Christ, are going to make an impact this Christmas because Christ came to us? Please go to your phone. Make the very best gift you can.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you will help secure and make ready 150,000 Christmas shoes to be shipped and delivered to children around the world just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted blue crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of all life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft lip or palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful A Mother's Strength bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
But we literally stopped by the road where I say we knew we would bring them shoes, and I'm confident that we will, because children like these need shoes all over the world. And you know, it's amazing. You may say, why would they stop and let you take a picture with them? Well, the truth is they stopped because I just got out and sat down here on the road and smiled at them, and they came over and started sitting down by me. Then we explained to the parents through our missionary interpreter that our plan was to come right back to this area, this village, and bring shoes. And so that is our intention, but it's gonna take you making that possible. And I'm asking you to give as many pairs of shoes as you can to put on these beautiful, beautiful feet of these beautiful children. Thank you. Thank you for your help.
I want to thank all of you who are participating in the Shoes and Smiles. And if you haven't yet, it's not too late. Do what you can. We are going to make this such a special Christmas. I also want to thank Sheila, our two wonderful guests today. So good to hear from them. I just appreciate everything that they're doing.
And their books, Take Back Your Life by Levi and Fight to Flourish by Jenny Lasco. Thank you both so much for being with us. We absolutely love and treasure you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thanks.
And we will see you next time on Life Today from Randy and me and all of us here at Life Today. Take care. God bless.
Thank you.
Next week, finding pandemic protection.
Because you give the body what it needs, and our body is fearfully and wonderfully made.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.